following program is brought to you by Living Ministries Media.
He gave me peace to show me He is near. Then suddenly my fear began to drift away. And with His peace He's spoken to my soul. And now I truly know the night will turn. Standing on their own, everyone needs comfort now and then. Offering our wills up, letting Him take over, soon we'll know we'll always have a friend.
Beautiful message and song, wasn't it? He gives me peace to show that He is near. There was a little boy who had just fallen in love with Jesus. And he was so excited about his new faith that he wanted to tell the whole world. Well, he came across a well-dressed gentleman. And as he did so, he said to the man, "Mister, do you know that Jesus died for you?" And the man looked at the little boy and said, "Young lad, I'm a bishop." The little boy had no idea what a bishop was. So he looked up to the man and said, "That's okay, mister. Jesus can say bishops too." Yes, Jesus can save him, even bishops. Can we pray together as we consider the word tonight? Our Father, thank you so much for your word, and make it alive in our hearts tonight. Draw us to you. Lord, use my mind, speak through my lips, and may your wonderful name be glorified. And draw us to you as we lift up Jesus. In his name we pray it. Amen. In the book of Revelation, if you have your Bibles, you'll find chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. The scripture says, after this I beheld a what? A great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Then it says, they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, and what are they clothed with? With white what? With white robes and palms in their hands. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? In other words, from where do they come from? The answer to that question is found in verse 14. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have what? Have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Here is a picture that the Lord gives us of the great multitude which no man could number that will be in the kingdom and reign with God forever. And the Bible asks the question there, where do these people come from? Because they're from every nation and kindred and tongue. Aren't you glad that it doesn't eliminate tongues? In other words, aren't you glad that all languages are included? What do you say? Yes, there'll be people there who speak languages that we never heard of before. I have been to places where, I have to be honest with you, I don't know if I could ever learn that language. One particular language in Africa, they kind of... And I could never master that. And there are all sorts of what I consider to be strange languages out there. But what's wonderful is that the scripture reveals that from every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. And it says then that these people have come out of great tribulation and have, I like that word, what does it say? Washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The scripture here reveals that there's a washing. A what? A washing. That everybody who makes it to the kingdom has been washed. Washed in what? In the blood of the Lamb. Now you may ask the question, how does one get washed in the blood of the Lamb? Since the Bible says that we have to be washed and it has to be in the blood of the Lamb, how does one do that? Then it also makes it plain that the washing makes our robes white. What does that represent? In Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, it tells us that the fine linen, clean and what? White. These people are arrayed in this fine linen. And then it says, for the fine linen is the what? The righteousness of saints. I just had the privilege of performing a wedding before I came to Australia. In fact, Sunday I did the wedding, and Tuesday I was on the plane to come out to Australia. So I had to make a real jog from California, where I was doing the wedding. I flew home at midnight, so I can get home in time enough to get my clothing washed, pack them again, and put them back in the suitcase, and head out to Australia. I'll never forget the bride as she came down. And she was dressed in a very simple but elegant, pure white dress. dress. White then represents purity, purity of character. But all of us, unfortunately, the scripture says when we're born into this life, we're born sinners. It also says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. What kind of rags? Filthy rags. So how do we get from having filthy rags to having robes of righteousness? The scripture reveals that. And there's a wonderful story in the book of John. If you have your Bibles, in the book of John, we're told about Jesus who is about to be crucified. But prior to his crucifixion, he gathers together with his disciples in the upper room. And then the Bible says, as he's there with his disciples, he arises from supper and he lays aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Notice it says then, after that he had poured water into a basin and began to do what? Began to what? Wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So the Bible says then that Jesus is washing the disciples' feet one by one. Then it says there that he comes to one of the disciples who happens to be named Peter. And so when he comes to Peter to wash his feet, Peter remonstrates. And he doesn't like the idea that Jesus is going to wash his feet. And so verse 6 says, and he comes to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never do what? Wash my feet. Ye shall never wash my feet. What was Jesus' response to that? If I wash thee not, you have what? You have no part with me. Perhaps that phrase may not be meaningful to someone who has not come to know Jesus. But when you come to know Jesus, and you come to love him, and admire him, and have great, great gratitude for what he has done, to sense that he is departing from you is most painful. And Peter, who has spent 3 years with his master, could not bear the thought of being separated from the one whom he loved. And when Jesus said, all right, Peter, you don't want me to wash your feet, that's okay. But if I don't wash you, you will have no part with me. How would you feel if Jesus said to you, you will have no part with me? Sorrowful words, what do you say? Painful words. Peter responded. And his response was this. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Lord Jesus, if my being washed is that important to you, then Lord, not just my feet, but wash me completely. Peter did not understand the importance of being washed. And I dare say that there are a lot of people today who do not understand the necessity of being washed. The scripture throughout reveals that washing was something that everyone understood, even in the Old Testament. You may be surprised to discover that baptism, which is what the Bible calls washing, was practiced in the Old Testament. However, it was not called baptism. It was just called washing. Let me just show you a text in the Old Testament. when you go to the book of Genesis chapter 35, and you come across a man named Jacob. Jacob was a man who desired the blessings of God. And there's nothing wrong with desiring God's blessing. But when he suspicioned that his father was going to give his blessing to his brother rather than to himself, his mother, who was anxious for Jacob to have the blessing, encouraged him to deceive his father. And the Bible says that Jacob succeeded in deceiving his father, so that his father blessed him when the father intended to bless his brother Esau. The name Jacob actually means supplanter, deceiver. Jacob deceived his father. And what's amazing with sin is that when you are tempted to sin, for some reason, at the moment that you're tempted to sin, you do not see the consequences or the fallout of sin. You only see the privilege or the benefits of it. Is that true? Jacob could only see the benefits, but at that time that he committed the sin, all of a sudden, a terrible dread came over him. He realized that what he did was absolutely wrong, grievously wrong. It's one thing for us to deal with each other in a wrong way. It's another thing for us to take what is holy and trample on it. What do you say? And so Jacob then flees. He runs from home. His brother is upset and angry. And Jacob spent many years, at least 14 years, away from his home. And when he is coming back home, that sin comes before him, and he is fearful that he will die for the sin that he's committed. But God had mercy on him. And God said to Jacob, "Jacob, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go to Bethel." Are you reading it? There in Genesis chapter 35. God said, "Arise and go where?" To Bethel. Notice it says, "And dwell there, and make there a what? Altar unto whom? Unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." So Jacob, I want you to worship, and I want to bring your family with you and worship. Go to Bethel. The word Bethel, by the way, means the dwelling place of God. It was in Bethel where Jacob, when he was fleeing, saw the ladder from heaven down to earth. And it was there that Jacob said, "I didn't realize that God was dwelling here." Now God is telling him to go back to the same place where he lost so God. Let me say this to you, folks. If you find that you have misplaced the Lord, if for some reason you have become indifferent and you've fallen away and you desire to come back to God, go back to the last place you saw him. Jacob returns. But when he is coming back to do that, Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, what was the counsel? Number one, put away the what? Strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. So, are we going to go to God? Yes. What should we do when we go to God? What's the first thing? Put away our what? Strange gods. Number two, be washed. And number three, change your garments. So three things. Number one, put away your strange gods. Number two, wash. Number three, change your garments. God's people then understood. But in order to come to Him, there must be a washing. So Jacob's family did exactly what Jacob said. They gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the yoke which was by Shechem. They listened. They did what Father Jacob said to them. And then they went and built that altar unto God. Even when the Jews were told to establish the tabernacle in the wilderness, they also were instructed in the importance of being cleansed. Notice it says in Exodus 40, and Moses and Aaron and his sons, what do? They washed their hands and their feet thereat. When they went into the tent of the congregation and when they came near unto the altar, what do? They washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. So there was a washing that took place. Now, this is the same thing that Jesus told Nicodemus. Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus didn't understand that, so Jesus reiterated that and repeated the same thing and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of what? And of the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom of God. There was a lady who was a Christian believer. And she had a husband who she wanted to see commit himself to the Lord, in baptism, to be washed. But every time that she would try to wrestle with him about the issue, he always had an answer for her. For example, she said, you need to be baptized. He said, I was already baptized. And she would say, how were you baptized? Well, I was sprinkled when I was a baby. And she would say, that isn't baptism. And he would say, well, I don't need to be baptized anyway. The reason? He said, the thief was on the cross. And Jesus said to the thief, verily, verily, I say unto you today, you will be with me in paradise. He was never baptized, so I don't need to be baptized or washed. The man told me the same thing when I went to see him. So, when he first mentioned that he was sprinkled, I asked him, I said, does the Bible have conditions for being washed? He said, like what? I said, according to the Bible, it says, repent ye and be baptized. So I said, you must have had quite a repenting experience when you were a baby. And he said, repent? I don't even remember being baptized. I said, then you did not repent. Well, of course not, he said. But I don't need to be baptized anyway. And then he gave me the thief on the cross example. So I said to him, well, if you want to use the thief on the cross as your example, that's acceptable. Well, he said, okay. I said, that means then that we have to put you up on the cross and crucify you also. He said, oh no, that's all right. I have discovered that many people have challenges with this whole concept of being washed. But listen, I showed that man this verse, and I said to him, Don, does the Lord want you to be cleansed? And then I read the statement to him, and when he read it, he was silent. And he would not respond. We know in the Bible that when John the Baptist was baptizing people, no one ever asked the question, John, what are you doing? Why are you dunking people in the water? But rather the question was, who are you? Are you the one that is to come? People understood that cleansing was essential. But listen, when Jesus himself came, Jesus himself gave the example of being washed. Not that Jesus had sinned, but that Jesus wanted to give us an example, because the Lord said, and when Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Once Jesus was baptized, it was clear that he entered into his ministry for you and for me, but he did so like the Old Testament priest. Before entering into his ministry, like Moses and Aaron, he had to be washed. Not that he had sinned, but he said, this is important to fulfill all righteousness. Now, what's interesting about this whole idea of washing is that it really represents something beautiful. I remember when I was first introduced to this idea of being washed. My brother told me he was going to get baptized. I didn't know what baptism was. The only thing I knew was about sprinkling. How many of you were sprinkled when you were babies? Any of you? Okay. Many of you. And that's all I knew. So when he invited me to a baptismal service, I was trying to think in my mind, what in the world is going to happen? Number one, he's not a baby. And I was trying to figure out how the priest was going to hold him up and sprinkle the water on his head. You understand what I'm saying? But when I saw the baptism, and when I read this next statement, I then understood why baptism and how this connected to being washed and having your robe cleansed. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into what? Into what? Into his death. Then it says, therefore we are what? Buried with him by baptism into death, so like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? In newness of life. And so the scripture bears out then that when a person is baptized, it represents his death, what else? His burial, and what else? And his resurrection. Let me demonstrate what I'm talking about. I have a young lady that I asked to help me tonight, and she's sitting way back there. She should have sat right in front here. Come on up. She's all nervous, and that's okay. How nervous are you? No. See how nervous she is? I want to explain to you what takes place. According to Christ's example, and what Paul says, is that when a person is washed, he actually demonstrates what Jesus did on the cross. He dies, he is buried, and he comes up representing what? The resurrection. So, when a person is baptized, okay, what they do first is ask the blessing on the person, and then they will hold the person's breath. Now, when a person dies, do they breathe? No. So, the holding of the breath, okay? Then the person is taken into the water, okay? You're okay, yes. And then comes up out of the water, representing a what? A death, a what else? A burial, and a what else? A resurrection. Thank you, sweetheart. Let me explain
to you now the spiritual significance of what we're talking about. All of us, whether we realize it or not, whether we want to or not, get involved in things in life that we regret. Is that true? Some of us get into things that are worse than others. But it's safe to say that all of us have sinned. Is that true? When a person comes to an understanding that the wages of sin is death, and that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, and he realizes that the only way that he is going to be able to dwell with God is to get rid of that thing called sin from his life, then he enters into an experience where he begins to feel sorrow for his sins. When he begins to feel sorrow for his sins, that sorrow for sin is called in the Bible repentance. But repentance includes two things. Repentance includes not just a sorrow for sin, but a turning away from it. Let me explain what I'm saying. When I was a little lad, my mother always told me that she didn't want us to fight. And I did not like to fight. But one day when I was in the street playing, my little brother came to me crying and told me that a big boy had beaten him up. So I went to that big boy and I said to him, "Why did you beat up my little brother?" And he said, "You don't like it? Do something about it." Well, that was too bad he said that, because I did do something about it. Well, he was my age. He was my size. And I thought, if you're going to beat on somebody, you know, be a man, beat on somebody that's equal to you. See? Well, he went crying then and went and got his bigger brother. And his bigger brother came and said, "Why did you hit my brother?" I said, "Because he hit my brother." "Well," he said, "I didn't like what you did to my brother." I said, "Well, I didn't like what he did to my brother." Well, you know the rest of the story, right? We got into a tussle. And the next thing I knew, the boy is being taken to the hospital. Now, you may ask, how old were you? I hate to tell you, but I was 8 years old. When I saw that boy being taken to the hospital, I became very frightened. So I ran to my auntie's house. I was not going to go home, because I knew my mother had told me what? "I want you to fight." So my auntie was glad to see me, but kind of surprised. She said, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I just came to see you." And it was 10 o'clock already. And she said, "Don't you think you ought to go home?" "No, it's okay. Your mom is going to be missing you." "No, she knows where I am." Do you understand? Well, my auntie finally said, "You need to go home, boy." Well, I went home, but I can tell you this. I was not very anxious to see mother. When I got to my apartment's door, who was waiting outside the door? Mom. And she had her hand behind like this. And I knew what that meant. You understand what I'm saying? And she said, "Come here, boy." And I immediately recognized that I was in serious trouble with mother. And I said, "Mom!" And I began to, you know, tell her what had happened. She said, "Just come here." "But Mom!" "Come here, boy." And I knew when Mom said, come here, boy, she meant it. She was a little lady, but she had a hand that was like an iron fist. When she got a hold of you, there was no letting go. And so when I finally got close to her, she grabbed me. And then there came a big snake. You understand? And boy, was I sorry. But listen, what was I sorry for? What I did? Or the whipping that I was going to get? The whipping. Now don't miss the point. Too many times, we do not understand what sin is. And because we do not understand it, when we begin to suffer the consequences of it, we are sorry for the consequences, but not for what we've done. Biblical repentance is that a person feels sorry for what they've done and turn away from that which I have done. So when I asked that man if he had repented as a child, he could not say that he did, because babies have no memory of what is sin or knowledge of what is sin. Do you agree with me? But listen. I don't know how you feel about it, but I came to a place in my life where everything that I had done in my life became very focused. And there's nothing worse in life than to feel like everything you have done appears before you and creates a scenario for you that you feel completely hopeless. And that's the way I felt. But many times what happens is when we feel completely hopeless, we don't realize that the reason for that is that God's Holy Spirit is convicting us of sin, not so that we could grovel in our misery, not so we feel goaded by the reality that we have been wretched and blind and miserable, but rather so that we can see that when we have eyes to understand what is sin, and we have a mind to realize what sin is doing, and that we're lost, as God wants us to go to Him so we can be found. Now, the Lord will accept us as we are. How? As we are. And sometimes people are confused by that, because people's are told to just come to God as you are. But God wants you to come as you are because you can't come any other way. I don't know anyone who has come to God purely on an unselfish motive. All of us who come to God because we don't want to be lost. Is that true? Is that selfless or selfish? Which one? Which one? It is a selfish motive. But listen, that's all that we have. When we realize that we have a desperate need of God in our lives, we must come as we are, bringing Him our contaminated, selfish, egotistical self. And He accepts us as we are to make us what we can become. You remember the three girls that we mentioned last night? Do you remember that? God took those three girls from where they were and placed them to walk upon the high places of the earth. We cannot change ourselves. God must do it for us. We cannot cleanse ourselves. God must do it for us. And so, He has ordained something that is so simple and yet so elegant in its beauty. He's ordained something called baptism. But listen, have you ever wished that now that you know what you do know, that you could start all over again and not make the same mistakes that you did? How many of you have ever wished you could start all over again? Have you? Boy, I wish I could. If I only had known that before. And we go through these terrible regrets of things in our lives, and we wish that we could start all over again. And that's what washing is all about, baptism. The beautiful thing about baptism is that God provides a way of cleansing, which represents the cleansing of the blood of Christ for us. When a person comes to Christ with his needs and it surrenders to Christ and recognizes his need of cleansing, and he turns his life over to God and decides to be baptized, that person in essence begins a new slate of life. In other words, his old past life is washed away. He begins a new slate, a new beginning, as if though he had never sinned. And that's good news. What do you say? Yes? Now listen. The scripture says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have what? Have put on Christ. When we are baptized by faith, we are then dressed with the righteousness of Christ. And so that's why it says that we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We receive a covering. That filthy garment that we come to God with, God washes it and gives us a new covering called the robe of righteousness, which is what the scripture says the saints have in that new place. Notice it says also that when a person is baptized, he is actually baptized into the body of Christ. So baptism brings you into fellowship with Christ and with those who have loved Christ. Then it says then that that body is the church. In other words, when a person is baptized, he actually comes into the body of Christ, which means he comes into the church of Christ. Then we have to ask a question about this thing called sprinkling. There are many people who have been sprinkled, and they think they're baptized. I remember about a year ago when we were in the Philippines, one of my trainees was having a set of series of meetings like this, and he visited a lady who he felt needed to be baptized. When he went to see the lady, she was crying. The reason she was crying is because her little puppy had just been killed by a vehicle. And so he had to spend time there consoling her. And then they began to talk. And he encouraged her that since she felt convicted that she was a sinner, and since she recognized that she needed a Savior, that she should be baptized. Well, she said, I've already been baptized. And the student said, how were you baptized? Well, I was sprinkled. Well, the student said, but that's not baptism. The word baptism means to be put under the water and come back out again. Well, the lady said, look, I was already baptized. I don't need to be baptized again. Well, the student was trying to figure out, how can I help this lady to understand? And then all of a sudden, it hit him. So he asked the question of the lady, I'm sorry that your doggy has been killed. What are you going to do with him? Well, she said, I'm going to bury it. So he said, so you will then take a few grains of dirt and put it on the dog. And she said, no, you can't bury a dog with a few grains of sand. And he said, neither can you baptize somebody with a few drops of water. Because according to the Bible, Jesus was punched underneath and comes up out of it. How many of you wash clothing? Any of you? You wash clothing? How do you wash clothing? You put a few drops on it? Or you take your clothing and put it inside the water? Which one? I shouldn't ask the men, because sometimes men don't know anything about that. But ladies, how do you wash clothing? You take a few drops and sprinkle it on the clothing and it's washed? Is that the way you do it? How do you do it? Now, I learned that because I grew up with a mom, and we had to learn how to do everything that mom did. So we learned how to mop the floor, and we learned how to... So today, I know how to sew, and I know how to iron clothing and all that. And sometimes that gets me in trouble. Now you say, how? I was one time going to perform a wedding, and my wife's dress was all wrinkled, being in the suitcase. And at the home that we were staying, I said to my wife, honey, that's okay. Just give me the dress and I'll go iron it. So I went to the lady of the house and I said, madam, can I borrow your iron so I could iron my wife's dress? She said, what? You're a man. Men don't iron clothing. Well, I didn't realize I was getting in trouble with that woman. But anyway, I can tell you, I know how to iron and know how to sew and everything else. Well, one thing I knew also is that mother did not like it when we said we took a bath and all we did was splash some water on us. She called that a cat bath. A what bath? A cat bath. But the Bible reveals that if we're going to be washed, we have to be what? Submerged under the water. Sprinkling will not do it. There was a bishop, Fradelli, a Catholic bishop in New York City. Bishop Fradelli was 68 years old, going on 69. I became acquainted with Bishop Fradelli because there was a lady who was his neighbor who happened to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And she was always trying to give him some literature. And the bishop did not appreciate this lady trying to give him some religious literature. After all, he was a bishop. But my friend felt a burden for him. She would pray for him all the time. And finally what took place is that particular bishop had some real challenges that came into his life. And no amount of rosary and no amount of burning candles seemed to satisfy the longing that he had in his soul and the problems that he came across. And one day, the lady happened to give him some literature that answered the questions that he had. It turned out that the literature happened to direct the bishop to the Bible. And when he read those answers, he desired more information from her. And it so happened at that particular time, we were having something called a week of prayer. And she said, look, we are getting together in a group of people who are coming from all over the place, and we're praying for each other. And it'd be great if you could just come. Well, he did, but he disguised himself. In other words, he put blue jeans, etc., and went so that nobody knew who he was. And since he was in another part of town, he felt comfortable in going. As he attended from night to night, the Spirit of God began to reveal to that man that while he was a bishop, he was a lost man. Is it possible to be a bishop and be lost? Sometimes we think that that's not possible. Nicodemus, in the Scriptures, was on the level of a bishop in the Jewish church. But Jesus told him, you must be born again. Well, Fratelli, as he attended and heard from night to night the Word of God, there came to his mind the reality that he needed to start afresh in life. There were things in his life that he knew that he had done that were not pleasing to God. And now he was not at peace. His soul troubled him. He was conscience stricken. And he wanted to be at peace with God. We studied with him about baptism, because he wanted to know, how do you get rid of sins? I've tried by candles. I've tried by the rosaries. I tried with confession, but I still feel guilty. I still feel my conscience troubling me. How do I do it? We explained to him, number one, you must repent of your sins. Number two, you must see Jesus as the only Savior. Number three, you must be washed. So, you know, he was so anxious to be at peace with God that he says, I want to be washed. So the day came of his baptism. Here's what took place. It was held in a church like this, a Seventh-day Adventist church. He invited all his priests who were friends of his to come. But what he did was he invited them to come to witness and celebrate his birthday. And I remember when I met the priest, they were surprised. When they came and parked the car, they saw that it was not a Catholic parish. They looked like they were a little bit startled. But one of them told me, this bishop has been so greatly loved that we even have a plaque of commendation for all that he has done for his parish and his parishioners. We sat in the audience, and the time came for Bishop Fratelli to be baptized. But before he was baptized, he came up in the front and he said this to the people. Thank you so much for being present here in celebrating my birthday. But I'm celebrating two birthdays today, he said, not one. And you may be surprised. Yes, today I'm 69 years old. But I've also discovered that I have been a great sinner. And I haven't had any peace with God until I discovered that God provides a way of escape. And that way is to be baptized as Jesus was. And so today, I am celebrating not just my physical birth, but I'm celebrating my spiritual birth. And I'm so glad that you're here to celebrate that with me. Then he said, my parents had me baptized when I was a baby. They cared for me. They were looking out for my well-being. They didn't know any better, because as a child, I could not repent of my sins. And number two, I could not claim Jesus as my personal Savior. But today I want you to know that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. It is my desire to be washed so that I can be cleansed of my sins. And he turned and went into the baptistry and was baptized. When that man came up out of the water, there was a glow in his face. and a joy in knowing that even at 69, you can start anew in life. What do you say? Good news? Praise God, what do you say? So, it isn't ever too late for us, is it? But listen. Coming back to that fellow who told me that he didn't need to be baptized because the thief on the cross was not baptized. You remember that? I said to him, Don, what does the Lord say? And I showed him John 3. And he read it and was quiet. So I said, Don, let me ask you a question. Is there anything you think that would keep you from surrendering your life fully and completely to Christ? He was quiet. So I began to say, Don, is there some sin in your life that you feel you cannot surrender to God? He said, I can't think of any. So I said, well, is it that you have another woman besides your wife? Oh, no. He said, one is enough for me. So I said, well, Don, is it that you are practicing some sin? And No. So then I looked at him because I couldn't figure out. Here this man recognized his need of a Savior. Here this man realized that unless he was born again, he could not enter into the kingdom of God. And I asked him, do you want to enter into God's kingdom? He said, yes. Then I said, well, what's keeping you? He wouldn't tell me. And finally, I asked him this question. Don, are you afraid of water? And he looked at me and said, who told you that? That was it. The man was petrified of water. He said, don't tell my wife. I'm too embarrassed to let her know. But when I was a little boy, I got caught in a river that overflowed, and I almost drowned. And I can't get into water, he said. I said, well, Don, listen. We have never lost anyone in the baptistry. I said, what would keep you? He wouldn't say. So I said, Don, look. Does the Lord want you to be washed? Yes. I said, if you want, we can put 14 deacons in the baptistry to protect you. He said, I don't need 14. Four will be enough. Now, please understand what's happening. This man is struggling. Here's what? He's struggling. Why? Number one, because he recognizes that if he's going to enter into the kingdom of God, what must he do? He must be washed. Number two, he sees himself drowning in the pool. So I have to encourage him. So I prayed with him. I said, Don, will you be there on your baptismal day? He said, yes. I said, good. You know, Saturday morning came and he didn't show up. And his wife was just embarrassed. She said, I don't know where to hide my face, Pastor. She said, he's not coming. I said, it's okay. I'll visit him. When I went to visit him on Sunday, I said, Don, what happened? Oh, he said, I got cold feet. I chickened out. I said, Don, God promises if you walk through the waters, they will not overflow you. God will keep you, but you must overcome your fear. I said, it isn't God is keeping you fearful. It is who? It is the devil. He's trying to keep you back from you being washed so you can be in God's kingdom. Are you going to let your enemy keep you back? He said, no. We knelt down together. And finally on Saturday, he showed up. Let me tell you this, my friends. When Don showed up and put on his baptismal robe, you could see his robe doing this. Okay? That man was trembling. There were two things at war there. Number one, his fear. But number two, his desire. And thank God his desire was stronger than his fear. What do you say? And finally, that man went into the water. And when he broke the water, I'll never forget what he said. Whew. If I knew it was this easy, I would have done it a long time ago. Listen. Sad to say, 3 months later, Don passed away. But I'm so thankful that Don decided to accept the invitation of Christ to be washed. What do you say? And there's nothing greater in a person's life than to know he is at peace with God. Tonight, perhaps you have felt the call of God to be at peace with Him, to get your past cleansed, and to begin a new life with God. But there have been things in your life that have held you back. Maybe it's the fear. Maybe it's the thought that, what would people think of me? Perhaps you have been baptized before, but you have fallen away. And you have lived a life contrary to that which you knew to be true. Your life has been made dirty again. But you've come to the realization that you need to be cleansed again. And tonight you'd like to say, Lord, I want to be washed. I realize tonight that if I'm going to be in your kingdom, I must be washed. And I want to choose that tonight. Is there one here tonight who would like to say, Lord, I have not been baptized, but I want to raise my hand and say, Lord, I need to be washed, and I want to be washed. Is there anyone like that tonight who would like to lift up their hand just now and say, Lord, I want to be washed? Is there one? Or you want to be washed again? You've fallen away, and you want to come back to the Lord. And tonight, you want to seal that decision and say, Lord, I need to be washed. Would you lift up your hand wherever you are? Amen. Amen. Are there others who need to make that decision? Just raise your hand up high. Would you? Amen. Are there others? Friday night we're going to have a baptismal service here. I should tell you that. Would you come up here for a moment? And those of you who have lifted up your hands, would you come here? Would you come? Would you rise and come just where you are so I can meet with you afterwards? Would you come? Would you come here for a moment? This lady has put on the card that she wants to be rebaptized. Tomorrow, that night that's taking place. Would you say amen to that? She at one time walked with the Lord. But then something happened along the way. But the Spirit of God has been speaking to her. And she has felt the need to come back and to reseal her life with Christ in baptism. And we can rejoice with that. What do you say? And I'm thankful that these have made the decision. Would you say amen to that? But there are others. Perhaps, Pastor, would you come and greet them? There are others here who maybe you've grown up in a church and you've never been baptized. And tonight you'd like to say to the Lord, Lord, I need to take that stand. I want to be right with you. I want to be washed. I don't want you to tell me that you'll have no part with me. I want to make sure that I'm sealed in your care. Is there somebody else who'd like to lift up their hand and say yes to the Lord? Is there another one here? If that's your desire, would you just come and join these who have come? A young person, would you come to the Lord? Would you say yes to the Lord? Visitor, if you've never been baptized and you desire to be washed, why not say yes to the Lord? Is there yet another one? Oh, wait. I know there's always a struggle. I'll tell you this. When the invitation was made, and I was in the audience, I was sitting in the back row with my brother, Willie. And there was a man named E.L. Minchin in Australia, there in New York City. He was preaching. And he began to make the same kind of call that I'm making here tonight. And when he began to make the appeal, a cold spell came over me. I began to shiver. My teeth began to chatter. And my brother saw me and looked at me and said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I don't know. I'm just very cold." It was warm in the church, but I was very cold. There was a tug of war in my heart. In deep inside, I wanted to go forward, but there seemed to be something there holding me back. And then all of a sudden, I realized that there was a battle for my soul. And when I realized that, I dared not remain seated. You know what I did? I threw myself up on my feet. Against everything that I felt, I stood up. When I stood up, that trembling left me. The fear disappeared. And I was able to step out and walk down. And I have never turned back. I praise God that godly man made that invitation. As hard as it was to come forward, I needed to come forward. And so tonight, once more, for those of you who have not yet made that commitment, is there one more who needs to make that commitment before we pray? Is there just one more? Shall we pray? Oh, Father, thank you for giving us a second chance. Thank you for allowing us to bury our past, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and to have the perfect robe of Christ placed upon us. Lord, we rejoice with those who have responded. And Father, as they seal their commitment to the baptism. May your Holy Spirit come upon them in such a way that they will experience the newness of life that you have promised. And Lord, there are those who are sitting who know that you have been speaking to them, who recognize that they should have come, but they didn't have the courage or the strength. Will you be merciful to them? And may they see the need of being washed and find the strength to follow Jesus. We pray it in His name.